It's kind of an interesting thing, the readings. We see Jesus drawing to himself apostles. They don't know they're yet apostles. He hasn't really made them yet apostles, but they will be his apostles. Notice that Jesus doesn't hand out to them a book of instructions. Doesn't hand them scripture. Doesn't hand them a pamphlet. What does he do? He invites them into his life to walk with him, to accompany him. This is how one becomes a disciple, to enter into the life of the teacher or the master, in this case, into the life of God. That first reading, it's interesting every time we speak about the devil. The title of the devil is the father of all lies. But it's interesting to refer that word father, because fathers generate, right? All lies find their origin in the lie that the devil made to Adam and Eve. A lie about God, a lie about who they were. And it should be, and hopefully it is, when you imagine that to believe a lie, you come into agreement with the liar. To believe a lie is to take the truth and to twist it, to distort it, you don't have to move the truth very far to turn it into a half-truth. It's an easy way of saying a lie, right? It's a white lie, Father. I don't care what color it is, it's a lie. Right? Well, it's a half-truth. It's a lie, okay? It doesn't take very far for truth to be twisted, for it to no longer be the truth. And if we believe the lie, we become sons and daughters of the one who generates the lie. We become sons and daughters of the evil one. And I hope that that shakes you, because the thought of being a son or a daughter of the evil one disturbs the heck out of me. The evil one has no power to generate. He is not creative, but he does have the power to distort and to twist what God has made. I don't want to spend the whole homily speaking about the evil one. It's not knowing the enemy is only part of the battle. But to know the answer, to know the truth, this is the solution. To be verified in the truth, to be made true, to eliminate from our life lies, so that we can walk in the truth. This is what sets us free. This is kind of what John is referring to, and understanding who God is, what he has revealed, what he has done. We enter into that truth. We are reconciled. Letting go of the lies, we act as beloved sons and daughters of God. Jesus is drawing his disciples to himself, that they might know him and that they would come to know themselves. Recognize, what does Jesus say when he sees Nathanael? He didn't say, "Oh, who are you? Have we met before? Nice to meet you. I'm Jesus of Nazareth." He looks at him and he says, "Here is a true child of Israel." And when he says Israel, he's referring to Jacob, whose name becomes Israel. Jacob, who is duplicitous, taking his brother's blessing, covering his arms, doing all of these things. And yet, when he wrestles with the angel in the night, the first WWF match, you might say, that lasted all night, what does the angel ask him? What is your name? And he has to tell the truth. I am not my brother, the firstborn. I am Jacob. You've answered correctly. Now I can bless you. Now you will be called Israel. So this whole understanding, my brothers and sisters, we see it constantly throughout Scripture. God reveals himself, the truth of who he is, invites us into that relationship to know him and to know ourselves truthfully. And in operating in the truth, we become sons and daughters again of the one who created us in truth, so that we will know how to act. There was, I think it was in the reading that we've been assigned to do. I'm in school. I don't know if you knew that. I'm in Encounter School. And so there's a reading that we are having to do. And I think it was in the reading that someone wrote, you know, we get so caught up in trying to figure out what the will of God is, what the will of God is. I know all about that, trust me, in my 20s in the Navy, in my 20s in the seminary, in my 30s in the seminary, trying to figure out God's will, trying to figure out God's will. Going to miss something, going to miss the sign, going to ask for another sign, ask for another verification, all of these things. The person in writing said simply this, it's like, be with God. Walk with God and live. And what he means by that is not to strip the church of all of its rules and all of these things, but what he is saying is be with God, know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, know them intimately so that you can know who you are, and then you have all the confidence in the world to act. Because you know who God is and you know who you are. Great freedom to simply act. Not sitting there in like this, in this state of like constant worry and anxiety and fear that I'm going to screw this up, I'm going to do it wrong, I'm going to do the wrong thing, I'm going to think of this and that. Well, what does God want me to do? I don't know. He hasn't spoken to me. Do this and that, blah, blah, blah. Know God. Walk with him. So that you might know him and yourself. And then you have all the confidence in the world to act, to do, because you know who you are and you know the love of the Father. It makes life much more simple. You see the echo in that first reading when John says that when our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence in God. That's what we are invited to be, my brothers and sisters. To be, that we might do. Amen.